If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, do you take every opportunity possible to live for Christ at all times and witness to His saving grace? Or do you seem to be more interested in trying to impress people with yourself? Christians are called to be God's witnesses. We must never forget our high calling. Following the restoring of Malchus's ear in the Garden of Gethsemane, one would think there would have been an immediate acknowledgement of Christ as the Son of God. But what do we see? Then the band and the captain and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him. Think of it, the creatures tying up the Creator. This was the first time our Lord had ever permitted anyone to restrict him. Passively, he offered himself as a willing subject to man's sinful intent. Actually, he had been bound long before they came, bound by his love for them. From the darkness of the garden, they led Christ away to Annas first, for he was father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. John is the only gospel writer who tells us of Christ being taken before Annas, though he omits the trial before Caiaphas and the Sanhedrin, which is depicted by Matthew and Mark. Verse 14, "Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people." From this statement it is obvious that no justice would be shown to Christ. Guided by the Spirit, John was directed to remind us that Caiaphas was the one who had declared the amazing prophecy that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. Even though Christ was bound by wicked men and rushed before the Sanhedrin for judgment, there was no sign of defeat, for this was but the fulfillment of the eternal purposes of God. Now, what happened to the disciples after our Lord was hurried into the courtroom? Verses 15 and 16. Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest, and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. John skips over the fact that all the other disciples fled at this point. But obviously, several of them, including Peter, turned to follow along to see what would happen to Christ. One of the other writers tells us that Peter followed afar off. Who the other disciple was that followed along, no one knows. Some seem to think it was John. How he was known to the high priest cannot be explained. Whoever the other disciple was, he went into the palace with Jesus while Peter stayed outside. Not seeing Peter in the palace, the disciple asked the doorkeeper to let Peter in. Scrutinizing Peter, the doorkeeper asked, verse 17, "Art not thou also one of this man's disciples?" There is no intimation that she was angry or asked the question for an ulterior motive. What a shocking reply Peter gave, as boldly as he shouted, "I am not." This lie, this flat denial of any relationship to Christ, was by one who only a little while before had jerked his sword from its sheath and swung a sweeping blow at the one who commanded that Christ should be bound. Not long before, when Christ asked, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Peter was quick to reply, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." It would seem that such a declaration could only be followed by a life of unswerving devotion. But look what happened when the crucial test came. How necessary that we recognize the frailty of human flesh. "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall," Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10:12. Peter's descent into defeat took place after the wonderful mountaintop experience of partaking of the Lord's Supper. This is frequently the case. Following some spiritual peak in our Christian experience, we often become careless. Satan strikes with all of his diabolical fervor, and down the believer goes. There is never a time when we can remove our eyes from the Lord Jesus Christ. If for a second we do not depend upon our victorious Christ, defeat is certain. Now look at verse 18. The servants and officers stood there, who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. You see, when a man turns his face from Christ, he is no longer careful about the company he keeps. Not only did Peter deny Christ, but he identified himself with those who were preparing to crucify Christ. It is one thing to turn from the Savior, but far worse to live with the enemy. Was not Peter as bad as Judas? Well, there's a difference in their status. You see, Peter was a backslider, while Judas was an apostate. A backslider is one who has believed but has drifted from fellowship with his Lord. The apostate has never believed. Though at times he may give the appearance of being a believer, yet he has not sincerely received Jesus Christ. Thus, we may conclude that Peter was in a backslidden condition, which could only be changed by repentance and confession to Christ. Now, our Lord was taken before Annas. This was his preliminary trial in the home of the high priest before being tried before the entire Sanhedrin. Verse 19 reads, "The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. He wanted to know how many disciples there were, where they were from, and what their names were. Furthermore, he was concerned about what Jesus and his disciples had been teaching. This was to detect heresy or subversion that they might readily condemn Christ." Notice the clear-cut and direct reply in verses 20 and 21. "I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort. And in secret have I said nothing. Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me what I have said unto them. Behold, they know what I have said." Obviously, this was interpreted as disrespect, for immediately one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, "Answerest thou the high priest so?" This action by an officer of the court gives some insight into the low level to which the courts had degenerated in the day of our Lord. If one were to offer any defense whatsoever, he was judged immediately to be wrong. Verse 23, "If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil, but if well, why smitest thou me?" Jesus said. This was a call for equality and justice, which had been offered theoretically in the ecclesiastical courts for centuries. Christ was saying, "If I have done wrong, prove it, but do not strike me without evidence." Now the next verse has caused much difficulty. Verse 24, "Now Annas had sent him bound unto Caiaphas the high priest." The question is whether the examination of the previous few verses took place in the presence of Annas or Caiaphas. It would seem that it took place in the home of Annas. Thus, the preliminary trial having been completed, Annas sent Jesus to be tried by Caiaphas and the Sanhedrin. Verse 25, "And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself." Peter was still standing by the fire among the enemies of our Lord, trying to get warm. By this time, those who sat around the fire had a better opportunity of observing Peter. The question was raised, "Art not thou also one of his disciples?" As before, Peter denied it and said, "I am not." But there was one person in the audience who could not possibly forget Peter, a relative of the man whose ear Peter cut off. He asked, "Did not I see you in the garden with him?" And for the third time, Peter sought to clear himself of any relationship with Christ. Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crew. The Lord Jesus had declared, you will remember in Matthew 26:34, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." What a warning this is to all of us. we who are supposed to be stalwart followers of our Lord fail him so many, many times. When we have opportunities to witness to his saving grace, how sheepish and timorous we really are. Rather than speak up for our Savior, we choose to be silent Christians. Let us tell the world what Christ has done in redeeming us from corruption and eternal death. Don't be ashamed of Christ. Don't be a silent witness. Speak out for the Lord. Share your testimony. Be bold for Christ. He will give you the strength. And if you are one who has never come to Christ, I urge you to come today, right now. Put your faith and trust in him, and he can change your life. Father God, use your word in our hearts. We know thy word is truth. Thy word is like a sword, piercing to the uttermost depths of our beings. May the Spirit of God use it to bring conviction and then draw us into a closer relationship with Jesus, our wonderful Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen.